Chase Archangelo. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
What's up, baby?
That was the first. You're actually one of the first people to actually pronounce it like right, correct?
Really, I like spit it out in my head a couple times a day, actually, just because I was like,
no way.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what's going on, man? I appreciate you coming on the pod. You're from the East Coast?
Yeah, so I'm originally from the first state of Delaware. I mean, I grew up about 30 minutes from Philadelphia. And I went to Smyrna High School. That's a big public school around that area. Big wrestling school. Really big wrestling school. But yeah, that's where I'm from. Moved out here about almost, wow, holy hell, 9 years ago now? Almost 8.5, 9 years ago now.
And why the hell did you come to?
I mean,
out of all the places you could have gone, bro, right?
Yeah, I actually came here for a wrestling scholarship. Crazy, crazy link up. My uncle lives in Louisiana. He played, he was a major league pitcher back in the day. He played for the Orioles for a couple years. Played baseball at LSU. And he lives down there now. And a guy that was in his gym, he runs the SWAT division. My uncle runs the SWAT division down there. And he runs a jiu-jitsu gym. He's like one of the guys down there, top guys down there. And he has a guy that wrestled down there. He was a 3-time Louisiana state champ. And he was like, got scholarship at Cleveland State.
Okay.
Had a great career there. And then my uncle was like, hey, like, he became, the guy who went to Cleveland State became the grad assistant coach.
Okay.
And my uncle was like, hey, like, you should look at my nephew. He's a 2-time state champion at the time. I was an All-American in high school.
So you were fucking everybody up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was doing pretty decent. I walked through the state of Delaware. I've only lost to 2 Delaware guys out of my whole career.
No shit. So yeah. What got you into wrestling to begin?
So my dad wrestled Division I. Mm-hmm. He wrestled at Delaware State when they had a wrestling program. They unfortunately dropped in 08 because of Title IX.
Oh.
Wrestling programs are dropping like crazy right now. Cleveland State just got dropped.
I just saw.
Yeah, really pissed off about that.
My old boss, Bernie Moreno, had something about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The senator?
Yeah.
He's putting his name in the hat, you know, just to help us out, supporting that.
He's a good dude. He really will. He'll go back.
Yeah,
he's a good dude.
I hope so. But yeah, my dad was state champion back in the day, and he graduated. He became a police officer. And he used to take me, my brother, my big brother, he used to take us to open tournaments, and we would just sit in the corner and watch him wrestle. He'd be wrestling like guys that are in their prime and college level. Like my dad would be out there smoking. my dad was like in his late 20s, like out in his 30s. And these guys that he's wrestling, they're like in his prime, they're in their prime. But he got guys from, you know, all Division I programs that are really good. If you're a Division I college wrestler, you're pretty damn good.
Yeah, you got
to be good.
You walk through the state of Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and is there like a cockiness to that in a little bit too? I mean, there's got to be a point where you're like, all right, I'm boy fucking ready.
Well, it kind of humbled me my freshman year. I lost in the state finals my freshman year. I lost to a senior that I beat 3 times in the season, and he beat me where I'm at, and it really humbled me.
Why do you think he beat?
Really in here, and my dad and my other coach was. I was just too much in my head. I was so focused about being a 4-time state champion instead of winning the first one. And so I took that over in my head a lot. You know, I wanted to be a 4-timer so bad. I had to win the first one first. And I went over my head, and I lost by 1 point. And then it haunted me for quite some time. And then to that point now, I want to be like, well. I never want to have that feeling again. And then I want to be the best 3-timer of all time. So then I end up winning 3 in a row after that. And then probably after my sophomore year, I jumped up 3-weight classes. I was 113 pounds my sophomore year. I cut a lot.
Really?
I was 5'8", 113 pounds, 3% body fat. I had to get a doctor's note to get me to wrestle. But my doctor was a wrestler. So
they understood.
He understood. He's like, what weight are we going this year? I'm like 13. He went.
What the fuck are you thinking?
He went. You sure? I went. I want the chip. He went. All right. Signed it off. I made the weight, and then the next year, my junior year, I went up 3-weight class. I went to 132. They're like, there's no way Archangelo can beat these guys, and they're a lot heavier, they're faster, they're strong. I'm like, watch me. Went out there and I
walked my way through the state tournament.
Why do you think that you, why did you decide to, first of all, why did you decide to go to 113? Because did you feel like at that point you could just fuck everybody up?
No. So I was a 106 pounder my freshman year. And then we also had a guy that I kind of wanted in the lineup because it'd be better for our team.
Okay.
He was going to be at 120. So I wanted to go 120, but I want it for the best of the team, like for the best of teams, like to be as successful as possible. I cut the 13 for the team. And I wanted to win the state championship. I could have won at 120, but for the team's sake, we had a really strong lineup, and he fit pretty good in that weight class. I mean, I could have beaten him anytime I wanted to, but I chose to sacrifice my personal happiness to make the team better.
Yeah.
And yeah, it probably the worst weight cut I've ever experienced. My dad had put the elliptical and the bike in the living room, and that was our family decor, pretty much.
Really?
Like it was a, being a wrestling house, I'm an Italian-Irish-American, like Italian-Irish house. It's a strict household. It's a tough house, that's for sure. My brother was a quarterback, played football, you know, two different dimensions, you know, so. But yeah, like it sucked. But then when I got my arm raised at the end of the day, I mean, I was like, in the finals, I was like 125 in the finals. Like I gained like so much weight, and then walked through them. And then, yeah.
It probably wasn't hard for you to gain weight after that either. Because you were just constantly doing everything you could to keep it off, right?
Mm-hmm. I blew up immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How, what's it like when you're, like, what's the most overweight you've been to get to a certain weight, right? Like, what's the most weight you've ever had to cut?
Probably when, I mean, honestly, probably last 2023, June 2023, when I was cutting to 170. I was walking around like 200 pounds. And me and my trainer, Adam, used to actually live here.
Okay.
And he wrote down a whole nutrition thing. Cause I haven't been, cause I was also like, when I started fighting, I was a 185er. I fought at 185. I was losing like 10 pounds. That's not a lot for me.
Right.
Cause I'm in the gym 6 times a week.
Okay.
So I'm burning calories every day.
Constantly.
I'm eating like 5,000 calories a day.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's a lot. So. After my third fight, me and my coaches decided to talk. We were like, what do you think about going cutting to 70? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm not fighting guys that are Sean Strickland size. These guys are behemoths at 85. Once you get better, like fight better guys, you're not fighting soup cans anymore.
Yeah.
You're like getting guys that are pretty damn good and guys that are just, they just get bigger. Like my one teammate, he's 6'5" and cuts at 85.
Holy fuck. So yeah. He's just an absolute beast.
He's just yoked out. So I'm like, yeah, I'm cutting to 70. I'd be stupid not to. So it took me about 4 weeks to cut 30 pounds.
And what were you doing? What the fuck were you doing?
Honestly, I did 4 meals a day and like I cut my meals in half. So what I do is I do like protein and then I have like jasmine rice. I do like a cup of jasmine rice and then I do like a certain amount of protein. And then once we get closer every week, I cut my rice down just to get rid of the carbs.
Uh-huh.
And I put more fiber in, like broccoli, asparagus, things like that.
Yeah.
And then it started to come off. I fast every once in a while. Like I pick like one of the days, like I pick a day out of the week and out of a hat, I pick like Thursday and that'll be my fast day. I won't eat anything till dinner. So I'll just drink water all day and then I'll just pee like a racehorse, right?
Yeah.
And then I would honestly just wait and then I would eat maybe a good meal, but then I would go back to my 4 meals a day. That way my stomach shrinks.
Yep.
And then
you're not as hungry.
Exactly. And then the week of the fight, I'm within 8 to 9 pounds.
Oh, okay.
So then
it's reasonable at that point.
That I can just lose. And then the last 2 to 3 days, that's when it's going to start to suck.
Okay.
You know, because when you're in training camp, though, like you're eating your body, you're using that food as fuel. Like you don't care what the fuck you eat. Like I'm not craving McDonald's shit like that. Yeah, I go get a cheeseburger every once in a while, but like, I mean, once I'm using fuel, I have this mentality in my head saying like that I'm fueling myself because I want to be in the best shape I can be in the cage.
Yeah,
and I'm lifting almost 3 times a week as well. So balancing my protein out and getting everything I can to get my muscle build and not losing as much muscle, but just lose more fat, you know, and that I lost like 2 pounds of muscle, but I lost like a good amount of fat,
which I think is a real key to victory right there because you don't want to be losing any muscle.
No.
Okay.
Like, but even like in general, when you cut weight, you're going to lose muscle.
Of course.
But I'd rather lose more fat than muscle, obviously.
Absolutely.
But then just in general, like I use, and then when I water load the week of, I drink like a gallon and a half, 2 gallons a day of the week of the fight. And then I get up to about 185, maybe like by Wednesday, but that's just all water. And then I'm just cycling through. I'm within eight. I go in the Browns Fit sauna and I just sit, I do like 15 minute rounds of just being in the sauna. Like, and it's Browns Fit sauna is probably the hottest sauna around right now.
What's it get to in there, you think? 2:30 Yeah.
I say 2:30
Right around there.
Just in general, like I always use sauna because when I was wrestling overseas, that's all we do over there. You count 100 drops. We always say count 100 drops off your nose. It's a pound in your head. That's a pound.
No shit.
Always.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
If you ever get, like, if you just can't, you know, it gets claustrophobic in there, especially when you're like cutting a shit ton of weight.
Yeah.
It gets fucking lonely. You don't really like a lot of people. Like,
yeah, you're not feeling it at all.
I get pissed off. Like, if somebody like, like the only people I have to cut weight with are my teammates. Like my roommate's a fighter too.
Yeah.
So he helped me cut weight my last fight. And but this fight that I'm talking about from back in June in 2023 when I was cutting 70 for the first time, I felt really good. Adam, my buddy Adam Bradley, he gave me a really good weight cut plan. I did it perfectly. I was in the best shape. I'm still in the best shape of my life. But and I was like shredded, ripped. Didn't really feel that pissed off, you know. I felt good. Made weight the night before. Had a bottle of water, and then next morning I pissed it out. We went to the venue. We fought at the MGM in Northfield.
Okay, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And my stupid ass forgot all my tickets at my buddy's apartment here. And Adam was like, he's like, you can't weigh in until you bring your tickets, because I sold a shit ton of tickets. Like, yeah. I sold out the MGM and I forgot my fucking tickets. So I waited for so it's 25 minutes down. I think it's like 30 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
So 30 minutes down, 30 minutes back. That's fucking hour.
That's an hour.
So 30 minutes goes by. I'm like this. I'm like,
you're so pissed at this point.
I'm fucking pissed. I'm like, can I just, and I just told the commissioner, I'm like, I'm going to fucking leave if I don't make weight.
Yeah.
And if I don't weigh in. He's like, all right, we'll weigh in, but you can't, but we'll let you weigh in like unofficially. He gets there. I get the, so I get to weigh in. He grabs my tickets. Right. And then he was like, and I'm eating a fucking salad. And my coach went, what the fuck are you eating? He grabbed it, fucking threw it in the garbage. Like, we're going to get some real food. So we go to Texas Roadhouse. I get a porterhouse. That's my favorite cut
for
a steak. So porterhouse steak, 2 sweet potatoes. And I tried to grab a bun. He went, no rolls. It's bad carbs. I'm like, I mean, I made weight. He went, fuck that. You got to kill somebody tonight.
Yeah, no, you're not going to, nothing so to
I'm
slow
not,
you down.
I'm not going to have anything to slow me down. So I do everything right. And then we're doing some, I had some little wafers. I don't know if I can know what they're
called.
With like almond butter. I'm allergic to peanuts, so I can't have peanut butter.
No shit. You're allergic. Yeah. That's a rare. Not really rare, but that's,
for an athlete,
so
I would say.
So you can't. Wow, that's crazy. What's that like having a nut allergy then? Like, you're honestly, probably used to it now, but you got to be real careful, right?
I'm anaphylactic, but it's weird because I can have pecans, walnuts, cashews, but then peanuts. Like, if I go to a baseball game, I can smell them. I'm okay. It's just by ingestion. If I eat it,
okay,
then my throat closes. But
hey, Russ,
yeah,
can you get us 2 waters out of the fridge too? Forgot about that.
No problem.
So here's a question. So you walk through Delaware, you're doing your thing there. You're coming up, you're going to CS, you go to CSU. Is that correct?
I just like Cleveland State.
Okay. Yeah. So when you got to Cleveland, first of all, what is your first impression of Cleveland or your initial perception of like, I have to go to Cleveland, right?
I love that question. So my official visit from Cleveland State, and thank you. My official visit from Cleveland to Cleveland State, it was the official weigh-ins of Stipe fighting Alistair Overeem. So they're like, we're going to the weigh-ins, right? And so we go to the weigh-ins, and I just looked around, and everyone told me that he wrestled at Cleveland State. And I just saw the amount of support he got behind him, and like, it was pretty, like, I looked around, and when he won the fucking belt, I looked around, I went, this is like, you know, how Anthony Davis like looked around like LA, he was like this. When he was playing for the Pelicans, that was my look. Like, I'm fucking coming here.
Yeah.
And the NCAAs, the year prior was going to be in Cleveland. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. I want to try to make my freshman year, make the NCAA tournament, things like that. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. But then kind of fighting went, pushed the fighting to the side, try to focus on my college career for wrestling. I loved it here. I committed here immediately. And you know, they took a chance on me because I was one of the only, out of state recruit.
Really?
Everybody, I mean, they usually recruit in-house. You know, they recruit Ohio wrestlers because Ohio wrestlers are dogs.
Okay.
I mean, you don't really want to recruit a kid from Delaware. It was just a three-time state champion. You got to make some noise in that, in the nation. And I had I All-American twice at the NHSCAs. And that's where I started making some noise. I upset a lot of ranked guys in the country. And I ended up being ranked until like 3 weeks. And then I graduated. Then that kind of went out the window.
Yeah. But, what are you going to do though? I mean,
right. So
Was that like a battle for you even in college, like where you're thinking like I want to fight? Like was wrestling more of a long-term shot or was fighting more of the long-term shot?
I thought wrestling was the big long-term thing for me.
Okay.
Because I thought I was going to make the tournament, things like that. And I didn't really have the right mindset at the time also. And it was also, I was like almost burning out.
Yeah.
Especially when the pandemic hit.
Oh, I bet.
My first 2 years, I did a really great job. I mean, I was then I ended up being the starter my third year. And then at the end of the year, I had a broken ankle. I wrestled at the MAC conferences with a broken ankle.
Oh.
Taped it up.
That felt good, huh? God damn. Oh,
it did tickle.
That's for sure. My God.
But I mean, it's, I mean, I,
cause what's decision making like going into that? You're like, my ankle's broken, bro.
I mean,
or was it just, this no matter what?
I'm like, cause this is my first time making the MAC tournament. And the MAC conference is back then it was the second biggest conference in the country. Okay. Cause then you got the Big Ten and then it's the Big Ten, then us. But I'm like, I'm not missing this opportunity. Like I'm going to wrestle the MAC conference if it's the last thing I do. And this is when like started, the whole world started to shut down, things like that. And it was right before it started happening. And I had a like really fucked up ankle and I won one match and then I lost twice. And then it kind of pandemic hit and like we were getting, we were getting like 5 tests a week, like COVID tests. Like if you missed one test, you get suspended.
No shit.
Yeah.
So there was no messing around with COVID.
No. Like, and if we were getting ready, like I was getting so excited, we were going
to were you required to get vaccinated?
Getting there.
Okay.
Yeah. So we ended up getting fucking, tested every 5 times a week. I missed one. I got suspended. I got put on leave for a second. And then I came back. We're getting ready to wrestle West Virginia. Right. And my headspace is, I'm like, we're not going to fucking wrestle.
Yeah.
Like this. And then we're going to wrestle Buffalo. That's what it was. Buffalo, not West Virginia yet. And kid from Buffalo gets pinged for COVID. Match canceled. And then we're like, and I'm cutting all this weight. And I'm like, well, what am I cutting all this fucking weight for? Right. And then the next week comes. We're getting ready to wrestle West Virginia. We're getting ready. Boom. One of my teammates gets COVID. Canceled. And now I'm like, all right, what the fuck? Then we had to start wrestle offs. And I'm like, just don't give a fuck at this point. I'm like burned out. Don't give a shit. I'm doing virtual online learning. I fucking hate virtual shit. Yeah. That's not that kind of person I am. I like a different environment. I can't mix my home setting to my learning setting.
Yep.
Because in home, if I see that fucking PlayStation, I'm going to get on the PlayStation.
It's over with. Yeah.
I'm not picking fucking class over PlayStation. That, not all. Right?
I get it.
And, you know, and my grades started to slip a little bit. I mean, I graduated still, but like my coaches didn't really have a choice. They were like, listen, man, they're going to start doing the vaccine. And I said, fuck that. No thanks. We got fucking athletes 18 years old dropping like flies right now.
Yeah.
From that fucking vaccine. And I ended up leaving the wrestling team my end of my fourth year.
Okay.
I finished the season because, you know, we didn't really have a season. It was just surviving at that point. And then I started to, you know, just focus on school, things like that. And then kind of a little bit of a bump in the road for me. The chick that I was with back then broke up with me. And then
the worst.
So I lost wrestling and then I lost my girl and then kind of hit rock bottom a little bit, you know. Then I got my shit together, and my best friend Jose Rodriguez, he wrestled at Ohio State, and he actually trained me for a bit my beginning of my college career because he was supposed to come here. Then there's like a whole thing that went on. So he ended up going to Notre Dame, became a national champion for Notre Dame College, and he was just like, bro, like you would just be a dog at fighting. I was like, I've never thrown a punch in my life. I mean, I have a little bit of history of boxing. My uncle was a pro boxer, but like I never really looked into it. Watched a couple of Rocky movies, Warrior, shit like that. Like,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, it'd be fucking awesome to be
a fighter. You've never been in a cage before.
Never been in a cage. Like I watched Stipe, and then like the whole Stipe thing kind of came back to me.
Yeah.
And like I was like, listen, if I'm not going to make a name myself for wrestling, you bet your sweet ass I'm going to fucking make a name for ourselves in MMA. And I'm like, I went for a run one day and like, I told a lot of people this. I like ran by the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, Indian Stadium, Brown Stadium. Then I ran by the Pavilion one day, and I'm like, this is where I'm going to make my stand. This is where I'm going to make my fucking mark right
now. Hell yeah.
I'm like, that's where everyone's going to fucking hear my name.
This podcast is brought to you by the Vecmar Corporation. Vecmar, introducing Cashmatic Visual Pay and Cashmatic Self Pay. Visual Pay is an intuitive model and versatile all-in-one ordering system and payment system. It'll allow each retailer to configure the solution best suited to their business and make it available to customers who can conveniently choose, order, and pay directly to the Visual Pay. Decrease shrinkage problems with Cashmatic self-pay and take the cash out of your employees' hands with the new Cashmatic.
How much of a, and because this was a big thing for me to circle back on, when you go through a breakup, that's a brutal thing, I think, in anybody's life.
It sucks. You know what
I
mean?
And we talk about that a lot, like mental health on here. Mm-hmm. And it's something I feel like people could go either way with it. I went kind of both ways. I went rock fucking bottom, the worst I could have ever been in my whole life, to now I'm crushing it.
Yeah.
Right? Like went both ways. How did that affect you? I mean, even long term now?
Honestly, it gave me more about trust issues now. Yeah. I have a lot of trust issues now with people. Oh, dude, yeah, like, I have a lot of trust. I have, like, a lot of trust issues. I'm
still for a reason. It's not lack of opportunity, bro. It's same just here. Brutal.
So,
I know.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, like, we're friends now, but, like, it's, like, we're cordial and everything like that. We're adults now, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it affected my trust, like, a lot. And I think that it's with a lot of guys nowadays, like, they're trying to do a... They're trying to find a 90s love in a hookup culture too, you know? And like, and I think now it's kind of towards me just being more independent of myself. Like I put myself first now. Like, and then when I put myself first, I mean, I end up starting fighting and I surrounded myself with a lot better people in like my work setting. With my teammates and shit like that, like guys that love fighting and they love doing what they do and it makes them feel good. And I mean, being around that and having these alphas, so many alphas around you, right, builds so much confidence in me and kind of build who I am today. With if it wasn't for those guys, like my coach took me in, the guy who coaches Stipe, he's the owner and coach of Strong Style, Marcus Marinelli. He took me in, man. He took a chance on me. He's like, listen, man, like you got to do all these classes, all this shit like that. I'm like, listen, coach, I'm a D1 wrestler. I know what it takes.
Yeah.
And I wrestled the best, you know, and I didn't get the satisfaction I wanted to wrestle in college. And he said, choke the motherfucker out first round, then we'll talk. First fight, fought a fucking guy. He's one of my buddies now, and he's an absolute dog. Choked him out in the first round. And then he's like, welcome to the team. And then he's like, now let's get your hands right, things like that. And but yeah, I mean, it all came from that, you know, leaving the wrestling team, the breakup. The not doing well in school kind of just drove me to do better myself, you know?
Absolutely. So, yeah, you took accountability.
Had to. I mean, you had to own, and a lot of people, not a lot of guys do this. Like, it's hard to own your shit sometimes. Oh, I mean, listen, I wasn't perfect. You know, I'm not a perfect man. Like, but at the end of the day, though, like, she knows and I know that we weren't perfect. But at the end of the day, like, we knew that it wasn't good for us to be together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, being able to live with it, that's the toughest part, is to live with it. Like, I could have done this. I could have, would have, should have. And then at that my point in my
head. That's a grind. That's a mental grind. People don't realize that. Like, that's how this podcast kind of started off of like the wrong things. Mm-hmm. Because even for me, I was like, oh, let me start this podcast and bash this girl on this podcast. You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
Because I'm out of my head at this point, right?
No, absolutely.
And then I recorded one, never put it out or whatever. Mm. And then, because I heard myself, I played it back. Like, and I was like, I can't fucking put that out. Like, it's fucking terrible, you know?
No, yeah.
And then no one's going to listen to that. Everybody's already thought I was like a complete fucking nut.
Fucking ass, you know?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. So something great came of it, but that's somebody who's to thank for a lot of the motivation behind
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah, so I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. And I think back to your, you know, a 90s love and hookup culture. What a great way to put it, because I think the problem that I run into a lot nowadays too, especially like, and I don't want to say I've quit dating, but I'm close because
it's tough, dude.
Because you go out and these girls will be like, I want to go. Yeah, let's go to dinner. And like, let's go to this fucking insanely expensive restaurant.
Yeah.
It's like bitch, Marble I am not taking you to that on a first date. Like, yeah. And it kind of goes to show you like where these girls' heads are. Like, you know, this may be controversial for some people, but I don't care. It's. You know, you listen to guys and like Andrew Tate, even you'll listen to him.
I like some of his shit.
I like some of his stuff, man. And
some of it's a little extreme, but then I'm like, but most of that shit, I'm like,
but most of it's just shit that a lot of these pansy men just don't want to hear. They're being pussies.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of it. And I have a really good, you know, sense of that now about myself. Like I built all this is mine.
Yeah.
I don't need a girl. You know, I got an 8-year-old son. You know, his mom and I, we get along pretty well, but you know what I'm saying? Outside of that, you know what I mean?
Co-parenting and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we make it work. She's all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
we make that happen, but yeah, she's not the ex I was talking about. Don't get ahead of yourself, Bree. And you're not that special, sweetheart. Ooh, so,
all right. Yeah. I love it.
So you get into fighting.
Yeah.
But, now wrestling is obviously a huge part of fighting.
It's my foundation. Okay. I would say most definitely my foundation.
Who out of all the fighters right now, or maybe even in the past, would you maybe compare yourself to the most?
Honestly, I would probably put myself, I like the Justin Gaethje kind of vibe. I would say his striking Justin Gaethje.
Okay.
And then for the wrestling standpoint, I wouldn't really put myself in the Dagestan guys. I wouldn't really put them there. I'm not a boring fighter.
Okay.
But they are tough dudes.
They're fucking tough.
They do everything right, man. But then I would honestly put myself towards George St. Pierre.
Okay.
Because he's a great striker and he was a really, a phenomenal wrestler and he didn't even wrestle. Like he like wrestled against Olympians. That man's never wrestled a state tournament. Nothing, no shit like that. He's Canadian, dude. Like, I mean, and I would probably put myself towards him. Maybe I would put Matt Hughes in there.
Okay.
I like Matt Hughes' style because he was a dog wrestler. And then obviously I got to put my boy Stipe in there.
Yeah, Stipe's
a fucking dog, great boxer. Like, and a lot of my coaches are like telling me like, hey, like you're looking like him right now. And to me, like what my coach is telling me that, and to me, that doesn't tell me anything else. Like I wrestled that fucking guy. Wrestled Stipe all the time when I was getting him ready to fight Jones the first time he was getting ready to fight Jones. And I mean, that was an experience to have too.
What the fuck is that? I mean, you got to be going into the cage and you got to be, I mean, what are your nerves like? I guess best question.
Honestly, I would probably say maybe my fourth fight, or my last fight was probably like my most nerve wracking ones. I mean, I'm always terrified going in there. I'm scared shit. My first fight was scared shitless. Guy's been fighting his whole life. Yeah. Like I was scared shitless. Like, I mean, any fighter that tells you they're not scared, they're fucking lying to you.
Yeah.
Like, they're always going to have that thing in the back of your head. Like, what if I get knocked the fuck out?
Yeah.
You just don't know. Like, I mean, you just get hit. You just don't know what happens. You just wake up. I mean, I've never been knocked out. But
yeah, no, it's not going. So 100%.
I mean, yeah, I was terrified, dude. I mean, it's a feeling that I mean, as much as I don't want to be in there, I never feel more alive. Like I get, it's all the anticipation for the first week. Like I'm like the most scared in the week of the fight.
Yeah.
And then once I weigh in, like, cause you have, your mind is tricking you when you're cutting weight. You're like, I don't know if I'm going to do this shit. Like, but in my head, I'm like, you're not going to feel like this in the cage.
Yeah.
Then as soon as I weigh in, I get my rehydration, like all the tough bullshit's over, the weight cut's over. Now the fun fucking starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like I get a little nervous here and there, but I listen to like really calm music. Like I listen to like from the 40s all the way through the fucking 70s.
Really?
Music, swear to God.
Definitely different. No one does that. That's different.
I put the Bee Gees on. I put the Rolling Stones. I put the Stones on. I put the Temptations. I have Ray Charles on there. I got the Beatles. I have Glennie Campbell. I got Blue Sky, well, that's orchestra. But I listen to all these, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Gotta put them in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that just really calmed me because a lot of people, they want to put rap music in and rock and heart, like, really high pulsing shit. And then, like, That's just a big like adrenaline dump. Like you can get so gaslighted in your head, like being all hype and shit. And then you take your headphones off, you're a fucking deer in headlights.
Yeah,
that's why I listen to such mellow.
That's calm a really music. Good. That's a really good way to put it.
You have to, because like I've seen so many people like. They have a great, spectacular training camp. Like, these fuckers look great. Like, this guy's kicking. He's going to kick this guy's ass. Then I put this guy in his headphone. I listen to what he's listening to. I'm like, yeah, you can listen to, like, one or a couple of them. But then, like, you got to have, like, a real mellow fucking attitude. Because
you want to be on that same level when you get off. Dude, like, take your headphones off, right?
I get my hands taped. I'm listening to Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Like, yeah. I'm listening to it. I'm vibing. I put AC/DC on every once in a while. Like, it's a nice in the middle compromise. And I put like Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. And then I put on like, I put maybe every once in a while, I put like just like a motivational thing or something. Like, I put like one of those on.
I got
gotcha. I know how to like distribute it. And then there's one song that I always, my only hype song I ever put on, even when I wake up, that's my alarm clock every fight, is New Noise by Refused.
Okay.
That's like the only screamo fucking like
I'm ready shit. To fucking
I'm ready,
go.
I'm ready to fucking kill somebody today.
Yeah.
And then everything else I put on like, yeah, like I said, the Bee Gees, the Beatles, the Temptations, I put them on. Payback, James Brown. I put I'm a Boss, James Brown. Like I put all those like nice mellow.
So you listen though in real life. In regular life, you listen to everything.
I listen to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like, if I'm feeling myself, I put my headphones on my coach while he's taping me up, and he's like, he's vibing with it. And then like, once like we're like 3 to 4 fights in, I take my headphones off and I just listen to the crowd.
Yeah.
Gotta listen to it. Cause listen, you don't know what the atmosphere is like. And my fourth fight at the MGM, I'm hearing the bleachers hit slamming. Like, it's like fucking thunder. Cause I sold this place out. I mean, this is a pro card too. I sold more fights than the pros. I was an amateur. And because I just know how to sell. I had Browns players come. I had Jerome, my boy Jerome Ford. Shout out my boy Jerome. He went to the fight. I know like a couple guys in my after hours at the after party. They all pulled up and things like that. Like just a big support system. And like once I'm like closing my eyes and then I heard the national anthem and shit. Like because I always take the national anthem very serious.
Of course.
So I sing along with it and things like that. And they put Chris Stapleton's on. And I'm like, yeah, I'm winning this
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you're like, this is over.
And yeah, so I'm like just listening to it, taking it all in. And then like once I heard the crowd roar, I'm like, let's fucking go. And I high-five my coaches, put my shit on, do a little bit of mitt work. And then when my walkout came out, that's like my hype song. I'm like, just real mellow, just be stoned. Like don't be all like hyper and shit. Like I'm real
because you
mellow.
Do see that. You used to, yeah. Some guys come out like all cocky and all stuff cocky like that. And
shit like that. Like,
and then they get knocked the fuck out.
Absolutely. They get fucking smoked. I'm like cranked. But like, I mean, my second fight, the guy did that and I fucking smoked him in the first. But
really?
Yeah. But
that's probably a little extra motivation though. When he comes out and he's like, I'm going to fuck you up.
I mean, my last fight, the kid was cocky as fuck. We were chirping on social media and shit. But like, I just do it for fuck. Because he got mad because I told him I was going to blast his fucking teeth in. on a video, but that's just promoting, you know?
Like, yeah, that's just how this goes.
I'm like that's just how it goes. And he's like, you're gonna eat. He's like, wow, this is gay as fuck. You're gonna eat your words. I went, yeah, watch me, pussy. And then like,
that was it.
And that was it. And then we went out there and we had a great fight. I smoked him all three rounds. And then, you know, he's like, hey, you humbled me, bro. And I went, I know.
What was it like the first time you got into a cage and got hit?
Honestly,
or were you just like
my first five? I didn't get hit.
Oh shit!
I didn't get hit till my last fight, but my last one back in the pavilion in August, and I'm not gonna lie, like he hit me. I'm like, oh, this is fun. I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then he hit me a few times. I give him that. I mean,
there's got to be some confidence in knowing you can get hit, though.
Oh, absolutely. Like Mike Tyson said, if you're a gangster until you get punched in the mouth. Like,
yeah, dude, I'm telling you.
Some people just don't know how to throw punches, though. Like, you see guys on the street, they fight like fucking kangaroos and like blind orangutans, just wail, like just swinging their arms. They don't know how to turn their hips, the precision, and like I can hit the same spot multiple times.
Every time I've been ever hit, it's been a sucker punch.
Yeah.
Every fucking time.
That's what it is, though.
But you know what is, I'll never forget after the first time it ever happened to me, I was like, oh, I could take a punch.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like less and less afraid every other time that it had. I like knew it because, you know, it rings for a second. And you're like, oh, I just got fucking punched in the face.
And the best thing is that like when you ever go with like a real fighter, right, we hit the same spot.
Yeah.
We like to hit. We punch. I mean, I aim for the chest always because guys that try to move their heads and shit, they'll move right towards it.
Yep.
And I could hit the same spot, and eventually it's going to start fucking hurting. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I'd rather get hit in the face than get punched in the ribs, kicked in the ribs, liver. Oh, that's the worst. That is the worst shot you can actually take. Like, you're conscious and you feel that. You get hit in the chin the right way, you just go out.
Yeah.
Everyone just makes fun of you and laughs at you at that point, right? But you get hit in the kidneys, dude, or the liver. Yeah, I mean, anyone can tell you, any fighter can tell you, like, getting hit in the liver is the worst possible pain you can go. It sends all these toxins all over your body. You're just like, it just shuts you up.
It's like debilitating.
Ryan Garcia's fight, I mean, with Tank.
Yeah.
He hit that liver. He may want to fight, but that body will be like this. Fuck you, dude. I'm going down.
Yeah, that was it. Literally. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Once you get hit in the liver, you're done.
Check out Automotive Customs in Valley View, Ohio, 5440 Warner Road, Valley View, Ohio, 44125 to check out their new $49.99 oil change special, up to 5 quarts, and check out their new holiday specials as well. Check out Automotive Customs, 216-232-4158.
Right. Yeah, but like my last fight, he hit me with an overhand, and like, for a second, I've like felt my legs kind of give out for a second. And then I'm like, oh shit. And then he kind of walked towards me, and then I was like, oh, I'm good. Then I went for it. Then I did like a little hop just to like regain like my balance. Then I went for a single leg, and then I was good. And then I dropped him in the second, and then he came back up and shit like that. But so going back to the fourth fight at the MGM, this is my favorite one. Mm-hmm. It's tied with that pavilion in this one. And I walked out with, on to the next one, Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah.
I like do my little ritual thing. I have my white and gold shorts on. Those are my colors, my Archangel colors. And I mean, it's my first time at 70. I feel good. Like, I'm in the best shape of my life right now. Best shape of my life. And I'm like cut, got my six pack. I'm feeling like I'm like 182 right now because I weighed in the same day. I gained like 12 pounds immediately.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and pro fighters get 24 hours. So then my next fight, I'll be able to have a 24-hour like recovery. So I'll probably be back up to like 186 fight night. But
good luck whoever the fuck has to deal with that.
Yeah, so good luck with that. But
yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. So I go in the cage and like, yeah, man, I like crawl in the cage, kind of like a spider kind of. Turn around, show my fans that I'm ready to fucking hurt somebody, and I do my little forward roll in the cage, and like I'm an entertainer. You got to be an entertainer, like,
of course.
I have fun in there. Like it's when I'm fucking someone up, I'm having fun. And the guy that I was fighting, he's a well known jiu-jitsu guy. He beat two of my teammates, and two of my really good teammates, and brown belt in jiu-jitsu. Like jiu-jitsu is not my like expertise. I mean, I can grapple, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've choked out brown belts and purple belts before, but like not in a fight because, you know, I'm a white belt. I don't throw the gi on. You have to get belt promoted to wear a gi. You have to wear a gi to get belt promoted. So I was like, I don't give a fuck what his belt is. I'm like, I'll fucking put that bitch around his neck and hang him with it. I mean, I literally said, I'm gonna put your brown belt around your neck and I'm gonna hang you with it. I really don't care. Like if what your belt is, and I'm going to drop him on your fucking neck. And then, sure enough, fight starts. I knew he was going to try to start striking me a bit, and then I was throwing back. And then all I remember is I double leg him. And I knew right away he was going to fucking do that little bitch pull guard. He's going to pull guard. I fucking lift this motherfucker up. And you can look it up, too. I lift this motherfucker up, and I drop him right on his fucking shoulder. Changed the whole fight.
And is that film you're watching to know pretty much? Like, I mean, a lot of these guys probably, and that's probably important for you and your training too, to mix it up.
Yeah, have to.
Because if you don't, it's something like that's going to happen.
Yeah. And we train like to be in the worst possible positions in camp. Like my coach puts me in the worst possible conditions, like where he could get me and where I need to get the fuck out of.
Okay.
You know? And I trained my ass off in jiu-jitsu. With it, like I was getting my back taken, like in practice, just like letting people get my back, like worst possible oh shit situations where I can get the fuck out. And we did that a lot my last camp too, because the guy was a very good jiu-jitsu guy as well. And I changed the game. I just stood up with him. That's why he had no answer for it. But this my fourth fight. This was like the guy. Like these guys aren't soup cans now. Like my first two fights were like, you know, they were okay, you know, but I was supposed to smoke them.
Yeah.
But my third and fourth fight. My third fight was, you know, he was the guy came in 2 day notice. I smoked him. Fourth fight, this guy, I'm like, yo, this guy's legit. This guy's 4-1, good fighter, or 3-1 at the time. I was 3-0, three experienced fighter, great jujitsu. And then I was like, I don't give a fuck what that belt is. Like I said, I'm going to hang him with that shit.
Yeah.
And then, so fight starts, got him on the ground, dumped him on his head. And then like second round comes, my coach, he comes in the corner. He's like this, listen, we're doing everything right here. He's like, you don't got to do anything. You just keep doing your thing. Keep boxing him if you want. Throw a little boxing in there. His left shoulder's fucked. His left shoulder's fucked. Like, he told me that. I'm like, he's not better. I mean, look at that fucking pussy. He's sitting down. I'm like, nobody sits down. Like, you don't sit down for me. Like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm going to fucking kill this dude. Then I turn around, winked at my mom. And then I was like, I'll see you in a minute, Ma.
And you just went out there and fucking wrecked this dude?
We went out there. And, bro, I went out there. I was just playing with him. Like, I was boom, boom, boom. And then I took him down. Like, I rattled him. Then he went for a shot, and I sprawled, and I got on top again. And then I hear my best friend, he's a fighter too, he's the 185. He's like, Chase, get up, knock him out. Knock his ass out. So I let him up. You'll have to watch it after the podcast.
I will. I want to watch this.
I'm like this. Get up, pussy. I'm like, get up, motherfucker. I'm like, get up. He gets up. And then I start trading with him. And then I throw it over him. I fucking hit him so hard. He wobbled back, but I lost my mouthpiece.
Oh.
And then I circled and I try to reach for it to the ref grad. He's like, keep fighting. I went, fuck it. No mouth guard. So I'm fighting this guy for a good 45 seconds without a mouth guard. And then I level changed through a right hand, left hook, right hand. He went down. I watched his eyes roll. Here's the fucking scary part. I watched his eyes roll back as he was going down. And then when he hit the ground, he like regained consciousness and got, I went, oh shit,
man. Oh fuck. So you thought you had him, and then he was like,
I thought I was going to like, as soon as I hit him, I saw my eyes roll back. I was going to like turn away and like celebrate. But then, like, I was, like, already leaning towards it. Like, if he wasn't going down, I was going to take him down. And he was already going down. And then I watched him roll back. I went, oh, shit. So I started hammer fist him. He was covering up really good. Then I took his back.
Oh, wait. I think I saw that video. You were, like, double hammer fisted him.
That was the third fight.
Okay. I saw that. Okay, that was the third fight.
Yeah, I beat the fuck. I broke his orbital
bone. Yeah, you fucked that kid up.
Yeah, I broke his orbital bone and shit. I fucked him up. But, yeah, I was beating him up and shit. And I took his back. Kept hitting him, and then I shoved his face in the fence, and then let him. I let him climb up. That way, he had like a little bit of sense of hope, and I just kept fucking hitting his eardrums. And then I keep looking at the ref; he's getting closer and closer. I'm like, just stop this fucking fight. As soon as he stepped in, I went ape shit, ran to my corner, jumped on the fence. Dude, I saw Browns players going fucking ape shit. The whole place, the whole casino went. And fucking
what better feeling is
binocular.
There?
It was bonkers. Like, I was like, I just got my vengeance on this dude. Like, fuck this pussy. Like, fucking put my right hand out, fucking shot him.
Yeah,
put in my fucking gun holster.
I love that.
Oh, dude, it was so fucking cool. And then like, I got my name raised. And like, the after party was fucking awesome. Like, my buddy Aaron Price, he's really well known around here. He controls the Tower City Lights.
Oh, okay.
And he literally put my fight short colors on the Tower City.
Oh,
the
no night of that, fucking
that
shit.
Night, that fucking night. And probably one of the coolest moments I've ever had, because I was like, this little kid from Delaware, fucking amateur fighter, 4-0 at the time, and my fucking fight shorts are on the fucking Tower City.
Just fucking grinding out.
Yeah.
And so is it at that point for you where Cleveland's really starting to feel like home?
Honestly, I just felt like that moment, I'm like, I have a fucking story to write here.
Yeah.
And my job's not done here. Like, I had a lot of people tell me, you should come home. I'm like, no. Like, I got my own life out here now.
Yeah.
And I fucking felt so passionate about it. And like, how many fucking people got behind me, supporting me? Because I would tell everybody, like, I mean, when I was bouncing at the Barley House and Ivy and all that, I was a bouncer back there. Everybody just knew me as the bouncer that wrestled in college and shit like that.
Yeah.
I was one of the smallest guys on the Barley House force, because like, everybody was fucking 6'4 and 300 fucking pounds. They let the fucking Browns offensive line.
You got any epic stories from like fighting people outside the Barley House or anything?
Dude, when MGK came in one night, he surprised us out of left field. And I was like, I was, it was me just being a young 20, 21 year old kid. Like, yeah. had my long slick back hair back then, shit like that. MGK comes in. I'm like, oh, fuck, this Machine Gun Kelly. Like, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
And he comes in to surprise, like, concert, right? Then we had this guy that's standing on the table. I went, hey, man, you got to get down. And he went, I ain't going fucking anywhere. I went, really? And then I just felt this. Spit on my hand.
Oh, mistake. Mistake.
So to me, I'm like, well, I have full rights to that. That's assault.
Yeah, 100%.
So I grabbed this dude's pants and I fucking just, you know, what was this? Like the tablecloth them.
Yep.
Oh, fucking went on the ground. And he started trying to fight me, and I fucking picked this dude up, and I ran his ass through the fucking crowd, dumped him on his head, and then, like, I got him in an arm bar. It was like a straight arm bar. I'm like, I'm going to break this bitch. And then all my buddies, like, all my guys, they're all, like, bodybuilder dudes. They're all coming in, like, yo, what's up? And I'm like, get this motherfucker. Dude, we carry this man, like, on a fucking stretcher. It looked like we like, not, like, six of us. We're carrying this, like, little-ass dude. He's, like, a $160, $150, and we're carrying his ass out. But, like, that was a cool night. I mean, we've had a lot of stories. Like, I was the smallest guy there, and, like, one of these guys, I remember one time my buddy got teamed up by these, like, really big dudes. Like, these guys were like offensive line size.
Oh, fucking big
and
boys.
And I remember the manager, the GM, Chris Loftus, shout out my boy Chris. He like opens like the side door where Lost is, right? This is where, well, Lost wasn't there at the time. It was just a basement.
Okay, okay. I know what you're talking about.
So this is like when it was like all like just storage. And all I remember, I just see Chris go, Chase. And I fucking just run in. I'm like a fucking running back. I'm the smallest dude, saying again. And I see these dudes just ganging up on my dude, Al. And Al's like a big ass dude too. I'm the smallest guy, like I said. I fucking grabbed this dude. I fucking double legged him, threw his head through like a door. Then I grabbed him. I almost like dropped the dude like over the rail. I went, oh shit.
Yeah.
So I grabbed him.
I want to hurt you, not kill you.
And I threw him back. And then like I ended up, and everybody started coming in. We're like Spartan pushing these guys out the door. And like, I mean, it was just fucking crazy. We ended up getting them out, thank God. And like cops came out with the tasers and shit. Like started like making everyone scared.
Well, that's like West 6 nowadays, man. It's crazy. It's gotten worse now.
It's gotten worse. Like, I don't know. Like, that's why they stopped doing the Browns tailgates, because they don't. They people just start just hanging around. They start fighting. Like, what are you guys fighting for?
You know,
for?
Man. Like, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. It's I really don't hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. And it's rumor.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. And it always happens later in the evening. You know what I mean? And that's where it always starts. And I don't know why, and I don't know for what reason, but it always starts over there, and it's always on some bullshit. I mean, Barley House has had its problems, but it's usually some drunk idiot. You know what I mean?
It's always one person, man.
That's it, man.
And once it starts to pot, like, it's, I mean, Ivy, Rumor, Barley, like, even this mix, like, even everyone just be in that area. And like just different settings, it just creates chaos. Like people that disagree on this side and the people that disagree on the other side, it's just fucking, it's nuts.
No, it's, dude, it's one person. It's literally, I mean, sometimes it's two people, but it's usually like one drunk person, right? And starting shit with other people.
It's usually over a fucking chick.
It's always over a girl, dude. It's
fucking ridiculous.
And you know what's funny about that too is I've interviewed like quite a lot of gangbangers and shit like that.
Yeah.
And I've interviewed a couple people that do like media stuff on the East Side, stuff like that. And we talked about like people that get killed, and they say the majority of the time it's over a girl. You know what I mean? It's like, wait a second, like over
all
a
that,
chick?
All that for a piece of ass.
All that for a piece of ass. They probably don't even want you. And that's why you're fighting over it. Because if she really wanted you, you'd feel secure enough where that's not a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I find that to be very interesting, but I also not surprised. Mm. Not surprised at all. Do you what are your goals now? I mean, you've gotten to kind of that space now where you know you can do it.
Yeah.
You know you're good at it.
Yep.
You have the great team behind you. You built behind you. You have a phenomenal support system. What is next for you?
So honestly, I just got surgery, my ACL done. And right now I'm just focused on rebuilding.
How'd you hurt your ACL?
From training. And then like I tore it a few years ago. And like it was partially torn. My last three fights, it was partially torn. I had no idea. And one day I was in during the steps. I was going down my steps after practice, and I missed a fucking step, and knee gave out. It was like, you just, and then fucking sucked. and
down the steps,
down the fucking steps. Out of all the things, out of all the fucking things I go through, yeah. I have to fucking be a jackass, miss a, like jump a step,
yep,
and fucking tear it, completely tear my ACL. And so I.
So if you want to be you in a fight, put some steps in the cage.
Put some, yeah, put a fucking set of fucking concrete steps. Yeah, and yeah, so that happened, and then. I mean, because my doctor told me, he's like, this was a really old injury, though, too. Like, this is, like, you completely tore it. I was like, well, I felt like I tore it through 2 years ago. You partially tore it two years ago. I never got looked at. And I was like, yeah, that's, you just finished the job at that point. And I was like, so you're telling me I fought three times, like, my third fight, my fourth fight, my fifth fight, and my sixth fight. So four fights with a partially torn ACL. They're like, yeah, pretty much. So I'm like, fucking hell, dude. So then doctor told me, listen, you either tough it out or your knee's going to pop out. It's going to really suck for the rest of your life. Or we get this fucking surgery now and you'll be able to be good as new.
No brainer for you.
I'm like, fuck it. I'm getting the surgery. Like, this isn't going to stop me. Like, yeah, it fucking sucked for a bit. It was lonely, man. Like, I honestly found out who my friends were when I got surgery. You know, everybody's riding high with me when I'm winning, shit like that. But then when a little bit of adversity happens.
Yeah.
Anniversary. What am I saying?
Yeah, you're good.
Adversity, right? And only my good friends checked on me. My teammates, my roommate, obviously. My roommate's one of my best friends. That's my ride or die. And like my mom came out here for a couple days. And, you know, after my mom, I mean, was only here for like 2-3 days after surgery. Then it was just me on my own. I did all that shit all by myself. And, you know, I didn't have anyone come visit me, shit like that. Like, I only had a hand, like maybe 3 people come visit me. Those are my boys for life.
But you know that now. I think that's absolutely, that's important for you, going forward, man.
Because honestly, I haven't lost yet. And like, and everybody's just with me. When I'm winning, obviously everybody likes to ride the winning train, things like that. Like, come with me at Barley House, get fucking plastered and have fun, you know, have all the girls there, shit like that, you know, bring all my friends there with me. And, you know, it's like, now I got through an injury and yeah, I got some praise and prayers and shit like that. I've been going to church a little bit more and like
good.
Find things that are a little bit more important to me. And then, now I'm going to document this fucking journey. Cause like, I want to feel every fucking second of it when I get in that cage in January, next January, that I'm fucking here for a reason.
Well, that's it. And I think the other side of it too is, you know, without the lows, there are no highs, right? So I think when you're able to find those, like you said, I mean, you're at the top of the world, right? You're winning, you're doing your thing. Mm-hmm. And then that happens. You don't have a lot of people checking on you. You feel very lonely, stuff like that. Sucked. You know, it does suck, but at the same time, it's real life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go out next time, it's like, you know who you're looking at in the crowd at that point.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Those are the people that stuck with me through everything.
Those are the guys that I played with.
And when you kept getting, as you keep getting bigger and bigger, which I'm sure you're going to do, as you get to those stages that maybe you can't even believe you're going to get to, you're also going to look back and you're going to go, man, I'm glad I dropped those people.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I cut the cancer out.
Yeah.
Got to cut the cancer out.
Yeah.
Because like, in my profession, like, a lot of people want to be friends with me, you know, a lot in the even in the entertainment business, like, people, like, you know, whether you're the GM at Barley or the GM at all these nightclubs, things like that, it's a very tough lifestyle to have, to be in a tight circle. You know, you got to have a tight fucking circle. Yeah, you can be friendly to people. Like, I'm very friendly towards everyone. Like, people get pictures with me. I'd love to get a picture with them. Like, shit like that. They ask me questions about fighting. They want to get training in. I'm very open and happy about it. But like, the guys that I would pick up at 4 a.m, 3 a.m, if they're not having a good night, those are the guys I ride for.
100%.
And the guys that I would call, I wouldn't call these guys, most of those people, if I'm in trouble at 3 a.m, you know, if I'm just stuck out in the middle of nowhere and I have nowhere to go, I know who to call.
Yeah.
You know,
100%. So. And that is, man, that is so important. And yeah, I couldn't imagine dealing with that a lot of the time. Oh, get me in here. Get me in there. I'm sure you dealt with that a lot too, as a security there.
Yeah. Plenty of times.
Oh man, my boy Jace works here. You know what I mean?
Even when like my after parties, and I try my very best to get everybody in, you know? So my last after party, cause like Barley was like, so when I was at Barley, apparently Barley was empty. on that Saturday because everyone's down in the flats, shit like that.
Yeah.
Because I was fighting. And I was just like, you know, making my promo after I won my fight. I'm like, you know, I'm going to smash everybody in division. Here I come. God bless you. We're going to Barley House. We have an after party at Barley House. Let's fucking go. And then literally, I literally go back home, grab my two belts. And like, I'm bringing my fucking two belts.
Yeah,
like,
duh. You just whooped some fucking ass.
Oh, yeah. And I'm walking in with my fucking fight shorts on still.
Let's
go. With my zip up. And so it's funny because Barley has a fucking rule. In my opinion, they have a fucking rule because I have not seen anyone do it yet.
Okay.
It's me and J.R. Smith, the only ones that have our fucking shirts off at Barley. That is true.
Yeah.
Very fucking true.
I've been denied going in there with sweatpants before.
Because I always text Chris Loftus permission to take shirt off. He always says granted.
Yep. So
I always take my shit off and like my after party, I'll send you some pictures and shit. It's me obviously without a shirt on. I'm fucking just out flexing, just fucking people, bottles are coming in, everything like that. And like, at that point, I'm like, dude, let's fucking go. Like,
yeah, feeling good.
Oh, I felt fucking phenomenal. And like, I don't give a fuck who's there. Like, obviously, I'll bring like a couple of my Cleveland State buddies in, yeah, and like guys I wrestled in college with and the day oneers and shit like that. And sometimes I'm just trying to get people in. Then like, it was to the point where I brought too many fucking people in the entire bar. We like, the bar was capacity.
Yeah, like
when we sold it out, like it was a fucking sellout fucking night, like, you know. And God, it was, we spent a lot of money that night too, because I made a fuck ton of money that night.
Yeah, see, sure. That's the best, dude.
And the thing is, though, I'm only ticket sales right now.
No shit.
I'm only ticket sales, and I made a fuck ton of money that night. Like, I made, like, for an amateur, I made a really good amount of money. I made more than most pros would make.
So you're going to be, is that where your goal is now? Like, UFC, mm-hmm, like, fucking, yeah, let's fucking.
My goal is to get in the UFC.
Yeah.
By December of 2026, I will be in the UFC.
Yeah,
I believe that. That is my goal. That will be, you know, because I know I have a long road ahead of me. My pro debut will be in January, and then I'm going to be fucking stacking bodies up until I get to like 8-0, 6-0, and then Dana White's going to knock on my door and be like,
let's
get you a contender series shot, and I'm going to fucking beat the fuck out of whoever they put in front of me. I don't care if it's Russian, Brazilian, Dagestani, fucking Frenchman, Archangel in one.
Let's go, baby. I'm riding that fucking train all day,
absolutely,
baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's but that's where your goals need to be, I think. I always set my goals unreasonably high,
yeah,
but I don't think yours are unreasonably high because of, mm-hmm, what the work you're putting in beside it.
And right now I'm a teacher right now too. I teach third and fourth grade. I don't know if I told you that.
No, I didn't know that.
I teach in Garfield Heights.
I got a third grader.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
My son's in third grade.
So I teach third and fourth grade English. And I do a little bit of history too, but
dude, I bet you all the parents feel so safe having you as the fucking teacher.
You have no idea. Yeah. I got my kids and shit, like my little third, fourth graders. They're like, they like look at my TikTok and all that, and they're like, you're like, Mr. Hey, you a different man. Bro.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you a different teacher. I was like, I'm not like any other teachers, right? And then they're like, I mean, they don't really misbehave in my room.
I bet you they fucking don't.
And the parents love it too. They're like, aren't you the fireman? Sometimes, just on Saturdays. And then like, you know, my last fight was like 3 days before I started school.
Oh, no
so
way.
So I came in with like a little bit of a shiner. They're like, what the hell happened to you? Like, I know, all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, so here's what I do for a living, guys. And I put on a slideshow. And, you know, my principal, who went to my last fight, she's like, oh my God, it scared the shit out of me. Like, and
it's great to have that support though.
No, it's
how
so
amazing
cool
is that?
It's so cool.
It's so cool. And I bet you those kids just look up to you like God, bro. Yeah. Because
they have they watch my Instagram too. Like I have a picture of Jake Paul with me.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley. Oh my God, what's the guy's name? From Wild and Out. D-Ray Davis, my boy D-Ray Davis. DC Young Fly. I hung out with him a few times. My boy Rook, he's the drummer for MGK.
Yep.
My boy Rook, and Slim. Slim's one of my good friends of mine.
My watch company's doing a collab with Kells right now.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, Aura. Yeah. So shout out Aura Watch. We're looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's
dope. We're going to have to get Chase a watch here, man.
Man, I would love that.
No, we'll get you hooked up for sure.
I would love that.
I'll get you hooked up. We do all kinds. I'll send you the website so you can pick one out.
Fuck yeah, that'd be sick, man.
Yeah, they sponsor the pod. We do all kinds of shit with them.
That's sick.
Yeah.
I'll get you guys on my shorts too.
Oh, man, dude, we're all about it. We're always repping, dude.
Fuck yeah.
We're going to make this whole thing a little like memorial for everybody that comes in here and I'll give you one
of my fight shorts or something and sign them and
frame
them for
you. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're looking for. And then
Are you? Let's see. Where are we at? Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Honestly, dude, like I'm more of like the guy that just that likes to talk, man. I'm a big talker, big chatterbox.
It. So I finish my pods with this one question for everybody.
Yeah,
and everybody answers it different. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 2-part question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy would you consider yourself to be? And if it's not a 10, what do you think you'd do to get yourself to a 10?
Right now, I'll probably put myself at a 6 because I'm never satisfied with the things I do. I want to always be 1% better. Right now, I put it at a 6 because obviously I'm not doing the thing I love right now, and that's put my hands on people and beating the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I know that God has a plan for me. My coach has got a plan for me, and I know in myself I have a plan for me. I have spectacular people in my corner, and to me, to get to a 10 is that when I get clear to fight. And I go beat the living fuck out of this dude and drop elbows on him.
Let's go.
And that's what's going to make me happy after I sell out the MGM again. And I'll be the main event. And, you know, that's what's going to know that I fucking made it. I'm going to be happy. Even when I'm in the UFC, it's going to make me happy. But at the end of the day, though, like, I always want to keep adding goals. Because once you reach a goal sometimes, you just go flat.
Man,
you just go flat.
That's the truth.
You just go flat. Like, all right, I already cheated. What the fuck I gotta do? Like, you win the Super Bowl once. Some people just don't want to. All right, I'm good. No, I want to keep fucking winning again and again and again because that was my entire life. Like, I've won 3 state titles. I didn't want to just win 1 state title. I wanted to win 3 or 4. I wanted 4, but I got 3 instead. I wanted to be an All-American. I was a 2-time All-American in high school. Did I get All-American in college? Nope, but I wanted to be like, all right, well, let me find something else that I can get good at. And fighting was my answer. And, you know, and I'm making an impact there. And I'm trying to make an impact for my 3rd and 4th graders, too. Try to inspire them to be great and things like that. And, like, not being sorry, but being better. You know, like, yeah. I hate that thing. Like,
I mean, I like that. You posted that the other day. I like that. I like that. Don't
be
sorry.
Be better, yeah, man. That's I love that. I write that on my board every day. Because even when kids get in trouble, I'm like, they say, everybody says sorry so much. And they don't fucking, to me, that's useless to me. That's just, to me, that's a curse word.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't be sorry, be better. Like, it's not like, take accountability, own your shit, and, you know, shut the fuck up and let's get to work. You know, that's pretty much it. No. But
we're here, baby.
We out here.
And we're gonna keep doing these because you're in Cleveland.
I'm right down the street.
So listen, this is just episode 1, baby.
Episode 1, many more to come.
I can't tell you how happy I am that you came by.
Dude, and I know we were
I'm so appreciative of that.
Yeah.
I love your story. I love your drive. I love that you're making an impact also in the community. Mm. That's huge.
Yeah, man. I love doing it, bro.
But more so than that, we wish you a speedy recovery. We know you're gonna get there. And mark my words, you're gonna see him in the UFC. I mean, it ain't just a matter of time. No,
it will. It'll happen.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go.
Thanks again for watching and listening. We'll see you guys soon.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Aura Watch. Check out our new polycarbonate skeleton chronograph and ultra thin line watches at Aura.watch. Use discount code RajPods30 for a nice discount on some awesome affordable watches.